So I don't know about you all, but inquiring minds want to know, mine being included in that, why we're talking about Jesus' crucifixion right before Advent when we're preparing for his birth. It's a good question. It is the story of the end that tells us about, reminds us about what is going to happen. What we remember the last, and now we're going towards the first, and we remember that too. It reminds us what Jesus did and does for us at the very beginning of our wait for the coming of the Christ child. So next week, we're going to begin year A. And that'll be, we'll be reading Matthew. And there are times in the lectionary where we insert John, but mostly it's Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the three foci, or is it foci, of the gospel readings. So again, inquiring minds want to know. So I kind of felt like if it was important enough to have this kind of structure, that I kind of wanted to know why. And the only thing I remember is when I was in seminary, there was a lot of fuss about, why do they have to change the lectionary? You know, Episcopalians just don't like change. So I thought I'd do a little, what is the lectionary thing? And it was really interesting. And I don't know, maybe I learned this and forgot it, but I don't remember ever learning it. It's very cool. It was not created by a single person, of course, but it was developed over centuries by different groups, and is often attributed to St. Jerome in the 4th or 5th century for the historic lectionary. More recently, the Roman Church revised its lectionary after Second Vatican Council in 1969, which then served as the basis for modern lectionaries, like the Revised Common Lectionary, which is what we use. A lectionary is basically a table of readings from Scripture that are appointed to be read in public worship. The basis for the lectionary in 1979 edition of the Book of Common Prayer, as well as for lectionaries developed by many other denominations, are what we're talking about that was attributed to St. Jerome, who is then built upon by the Roman Church. So it seemed like the churches needed something to bind us together. Sometimes we're so out there with, you're a Baptist, or you're this, or you're that. We are all Christians, and we are all disciples of Christ. So in 1992, they adopted in 1983, there was an ecumenical project of American and Canadian denominations coming out of the concern for the unity of the church and a desire for a common experience of Scripture. It was intended as a harmonization of the many different denominational approaches to the three-year lectionaries. And I have to say, there was a time I attended with a friend and went to a Baptist church and was very surprised that they were using the lectionary. But they were part, that denomination was part of the development of the Revised Common Lectionary. It's a three-year cycle of Sunday Eucharistic readings, and I already said Matthew, Mark, and Luke are read in successive years with some stuff from John that's repeated every year. It's never too late. It's never too late. That little quip certainly brings truth to today's gospel. How in the world can Jesus, hanging on the cross in pain, look upon the thief next to him and tell him that he will be with him in paradise that day? He was forgiven. Last week I said something about the young men at Beaumont who attended the Biker Bible study. And they left every time with a call that if you don't accept Jesus right now and you die in your sleep, you're going to hell. It's a way to get people to accept Jesus, but I'm not sure that it's the meaningful accepting Jesus that these children really, really need. And let me be clear that there are some children who did seriously accept Jesus as their Savior. one of the rebukes of the young men when they would come to me about this was that if someone declares their faith in Jesus as they're dying or as they're having a car accident and they get to go to heaven, that's not fair. Our favorite words, that's not fair. I could respond to that by saying, well, guess what? Life isn't fair. And I'm going to have to go by rote. You're going to get what you get. Life isn't fair, and if I accepted that, it would be a cop-out. Declaring our belief of Jesus as our Savior is to go through the door towards eternal life. And yes, we can open that door at any time in our lives. See, our time is not God's time. I find that one of the things I have to do in my life is to trust God and how important it is to trust in God. God knows all my questions, all my fears, all my doubts. God knows all my sins, as the confession says, known and unknown to me. And in spite of all that, all that God knows about me, God our Father sent Jesus to forgive us of our sins, to die for us. And that's kind of the center of all this that we're talking about today. Jesus hanging there in pain. Can you imagine? I can't begin to imagine the torture of being crucified. And he turns and he forgives someone next to him on the cross, also in pain, dying. That's the Jesus. That's our Jesus. So how significant is Jesus' death for us? Well, we won't forget about the other thief. He mocks Jesus. And note that it is not Jesus, but it is the thief that's been forgiven that derides Jesus and rebukes him. I find that extremely telling. We have our choices to make. We can choose to follow Jesus into eternal life, or we can reject Jesus and go somewhere else. Our help and our hope is in the Lord. The words from Colossians today instruct us as disciples how to honor and implement the gospel message and how to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks. These words encourage us to live a life of discipleship. These words from Colossians are for us. They were written to remind the church in Colossae to beware of teachers' teachings that do not align with the gospel message, and to remind them, and subsequently remind us, that Jesus is the King of the church, divine and eternal in his leadership from the beginning to the end. This week, we highlight the importance of giving thanks as we celebrate Thanksgiving. So in preparation for Thanksgiving, a group of kindergarten children were asked what they were most thankful for. And there were the expected answers: my family, my friends, my dog. One young girl raised her hand, and when called on, she said she was thankful for all the good that is in the world. Paul writes, may you be strong with all strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That quote from Colossians kind of says it all to me, that we need to be prepared. We need to be patient, and we need to serve joyfully, even when sometimes it doesn't feel joyful. Jesus came to rescue us from darkness and bring us into his kingdom. And through that, we are redeemed. We are forgiven. Amen.